So now, in continuation of yesterday's teaching, yesterday we described about the refuge with the five parts: cause, object, benefit, cause, object, way and benefit, and rules of the refuge. So today, since we are born as a human being, and when we have all the necessary conditions, and when we are free from all the unfavorable conditions, and we met the precious Dharma, and when we have such a great opportunity, that it is very important to accomplish the result. And the reason why it is because nature of the mind is pure right from the beginning. It is never stained with the obscurations. And it is the nature of the mind is like Buddha nature within every sentient being. So every sentient being has the opportunity to become a fully enlightened Buddha. But at the moment we do not see this. Instead of seeing in the true nature of the mind that we cling as a self. And then due to this that we have all the obscurations, like the obscuration of the defilements and the obscuration of the phenomena, or the obscuration of the knowledge. And as long as we have these obscurations, we are caught up in the samsara. And as long as we are in the samsara, there is no one is free from the sufferings. And samsara is divided into two parts. The lower realms and higher realms. In the lower realms, there's so much suffering, like hell realm, hungry ghost realm, and animals realm. Hell realm has so many divisions, like 8 cold hell, 8 hot hell, and neighboring hell, and semi-hell hell. So altogether there are 18 different kinds of hell realms. And there, place their suffering, their lifespan is so much that it is almost unimaginable kind of sufferings that they have to suffer. Even now, even just a tiny needle poking into your body, or tiny fire that falling into your body, that you have so much pain and unbearable. So if we have to such suffer into hell realms, there's no way to bear it. And chances of falling down is high, because most people indulge in negative deeds, and by indulging into the negative deeds, the result is to fall down into these lower realms, especially hell realms. And so therefore it's very suffering. And then second lower realm is the hungry ghost realm. Hungry ghost realm is due to the stinginess and due to the desire, they fall down, and there are many different kinds But if we kind of include it, it includes into three kinds, like outer obscuration, inner obscuration, and obscuration of the obscurations. And there, even here, even we could not, if we don't eat one day, then how hungry we are, and how unbearable it is. But there, not only days, but months and years without a single drop of water or one grain of, one tiny grain. That, and that not only that they are very hungry, but they have such an ugly body that have to, for the sake of food, that they have to drag just like an old horse cart with much sound and so on. And then the other ones are that they have even they could not find for food for months and years, and sometimes they find some very dirty food such as like mucus or pus or like blood that first of all they are so stingy that they could not eat. And when they eat, they could not go through the throat. And even if it goes through, the stomach is huge, that it just disappears. And not only that, it causes more pain, more sufferings, and so on. And then the third realm is the animals' realms. Animals, there are three different kinds of animals that are dwelling in the outer ocean, animals that are dwelling in between the continents, animals that are like scattering around, and the animals that are dwelling in the outer ocean. There are so many different kinds of animals, different name, different race, the countless of them. And generally the animals are very ignorant. They don't know what is the right and what is the wrong. And they are just like putting a huge rock on their head. And then they have so much suffering of life. Big animals eating many tiny animals all together. Tiny animals eating big ones, many of them together, etc. And generally they have to stay in very stingy and very dirty place, and that uncertainty place, and uncertainty companions, and there's a fear of meeting the enemies among themselves, and human beings also, cats, etc. And then the animals that are dwelling in between the continents, that are in completely in dark, that they even could not see their own palms, and whatever eatable or non-eatable foods that that comes into their hands, that they have to eat. And then those who are scattering around in animals themselves fighting for each other, and the human beings and non-human beings slaughter them and catch them and torture them, etc. The animals are killed for the meat, for the skins, for the bone, etc. So there are so many different kinds of. So there are, generally speaking, there are three different kinds of sufferings: the suffering, and the suffering of change, and suffering of conditional nature. Suffering means that normally we consider as suffering, such as like physical pains and mental anxiety, etc. And so this is mainly in the lower realms, and in hell realm, hungry ghost realm, and animals realms. So they suffer so much. In the lower realms, three lower realms, they have so much suffering. There's constantly suffering. There's not a single moment of relaxing. There's so much suffering. And then there are three higher realms, the human realm, the demigods realm, and the gods realm. And these have the suffering of change. Mainly we have the suffering of change. Suffering of change is that we normally consider as like the pleasures and joys appears like a joy and pleasure, but in reality it is another kind of suffering. If it is a real pleasure, the more you indulge, the more you feel joy, but it's not, it changes. For example, a person who is staying in a very uncomfortable place, hot in the summer, cold in winter, and smelly and wet and so on, but really uncomfortable. Such a person, if he's put in a luxurious house, so cool in summer, warm in winter, and with all the facilities, of course in the beginning you will feel very happy. If these conditions are real cause of happiness, the more you stay such place, the more one is happier. But it is not. If you have to stay there for a long time, after a while, you get bored, and then you have to go to another place, which to go to do something else. So similarly, it's a suffering of change. The same facilities that cause the cause the pleasures cause sufferings. So that shows that it is not a real pleasure. It is another form of suffering. So it's called the suffering of change. And generally, when we all have the four major sufferings, the suffering of birth, suffering of old age, suffering of sickness, and suffering of death. Suffering of birth is, of course, when you are in the mother's womb, it's very tight and smelly, and when mothers make movements, then you are pressed. And when the mother is like going into different places, it's like falling down from very high cliffs. And when mother eats a different food, hot or cold, you also feel the so much. And then when you are born, it's so difficult to be born. And then old age is, of course, as we all know, that when you are old, you change your beautiful body into old with the white hair and wrinkles, and you lose your power, you lose your strength, you lose even getting up or sitting down, you have to depend on other people, and you lose your voice, and you could not utter the words properly, and then your mind also lose your power, and then you have no interest to do anything, and whatever you say or you do, you forget. And everything you do is wrong things. And everybody is sort of sarcastic, and everyone is kind of... And so this old age is very... And then sickness, of course. As we all know, that even you have a small sickness, that how uncomfortable it is, and how difficult it is, have to do a very intensive treatment, and that whatever you eat, that it does not comfortable, and that even you could spend the daytime, you could not spend the night time. Even you could spend night time, you could not spend daytime, and you have to not only physically sick, but also mentally so much worry and so much anxiety and so on. Then after a while, the suffering of death, nobody knows when the death will strike to us. You do the halfway, some works began, some works just before beginning, and then you in between, then you die. And so, and at that time, no matter what rituals you do, what medicines you take, that it does not affect, and then you have to go yourself alone, just like taking a hair out of butter. Just like yourself alone. Even our own possessions, our own body, which is since birth, then we are together, since conception, we are together with this very precious body, also have to leave behind. And have to leave behind and have to do go alone, and so it's so much. And then so the human realm is so much. We think that it's a mixture of suffering and also happiness, but in reality there's no real happiness. Even the feelings that we consider as a happiness is in reality another form of suffering. And there's another form of suffering. And so therefore, it's all sufferings. Then the demigods, second higher realm is the demigods. Demigods are between the gods and the human realm, so they are called demigods. They are said to be inside the Mount Sumeru. and they are naturally very jealousy because they are constantly competing with the God's realm. And since their merit is never equal with the God's, they are always defeated. And so their male members are all killed in the battlefield. And the women's, they have some kind of leg that they see what is happening in the battlefield. So when they watch this leg, they see their male members are killed in the battlefield, and so they suffer so much. And since they are constantly involved with the anger and jealousy, the result is they again fall down into the lower realms and have to spend. Then the third higher realm is the God's realm. The God's realm, there are many different levels. The gods that are dwelling in the Karma Dhatu is called. Karma Dhatu means the realm of desires, same as ours. And they are gods. There are six different levels of God in the Karma Dhatu. And then Rupa Dhatu, the realm of forms, has 17 different levels of God's realms. And then the Arupa Dhatu, which means the realm of formless, has 4 different levels. So there are many different levels of the God's realms. The God's realm that are in the Karma Dhatu, the realm of desire, they have a very beautiful place, beautiful body, beautiful life, and everything is very beautiful, and their lifespan is also very long, but it's not permanent. One day, suddenly, signs of death appears, such as like their body becomes ugly, they have no interest in sitting, their flower garlands become old, their body becomes with the dirt, and they sweat, and so on. So these are the signs of death. And since they have a contaminated clairvoyance, they knew where they are going to be born. Not only they have the death signs, but now they are going to. They know where they are going to fall for. And since their life is spent all in enjoyment and indulging in enjoyment, never remembering the practice of Dharma, so they're mostly likely to be fall down in the lower realms. So they have so much mental torture, mental suffering. And so in this way that they have and now the gods that are dwelling in the realm of forms and realm of formless, they don't have the such visible sufferings as we have, but no matter how high the bird flies in the sky, eventually have to land on the ground. So similarly, their strength of their contaminated virtues strength is exhausted, and then they think they have reached the actually liberation, but they did not reach the liberation. They are still in the samsara. So this kind of wrong views rises, and due to this, they again fall down into the lower realms. So therefore, the entire samsara, no matter whether you are in the lower realm or in the higher realm, of course there's a difference, but lower realms have immense sufferings and higher realms have less suffering, but otherwise it is still the same. And the higher realms also can fall down into the lower realms, so there's not a definite. Everything is changing, everything is suffering, everything is moving. And so therefore it is not worthy to have attachment to the samsara. Samsara as a whole, the complete circle of existence is nothing but some suffering. The nature of the fire is hot. Whether it is a small fire or big fire, similarly, the nature of the fire and the samsara is suffering. Nature of the fire is, nature of the samsara is suffering. So the entire samsara, no matter where you are born, it is all nothing but sufferings. And then the third kind of suffering is called the conditional nature of all phenomena, which means that the feelings that we normally consider as like indifferent feelings, and that our very existence itself is suffering. And besides, there is no never-ending the works, never satisfying the desire, never weird of birth and death and so on. That there's no end, no matter how much work you do, no matter how hard you work, no matter where you go, no matter where you go, there's no satisfaction. So this entire samsara is like a terminally ill patient, or that people who are sentenced to lifetime sentence, or people who never reach your destination. So no matter where you go, to whom you associate, what you enjoy, what do you do, this is all nature of sufferings. And so therefore, that we need to free from the sufferings. To free from the sufferings, you need to obtain. Although every sentient being has the Buddha nature, so every sentient being has the opportunity to become a fully enlightened Buddha. But the human life is the best opportunity. And so the human life is, precious human life is very difficult to obtain. Because when you realize entire samsara is suffering, And so in order to free from such suffering, you need to practice the holy Dharma. To practice the Dharma as a base for practice the Dharma, you need to obtain the precious human life. And that is very difficult to obtain from many point of view. From the cause point of view, from the number point of view, from the nature point of view, from the example point of view. First, from the cause point of view, to obtain human life, you need to practice virtuous deeds. And without practicing the virtuous deeds and by indulging negative deeds, how can you obtain the precious human life? And since there are very few, very rare persons who are practicing, the people who are practicing the virtuous deeds, the result is also very rare. And this virtuous deeds also, not just ordinary virtuous deeds, but good moral conduct. Someone that who abstains from non-virtuous deeds and good discipline, good moral conduct. And that is very difficult to obtain. And then from the number point of view, although there are many human beings, but when you compare with other animals, human beings are few in number. It's easy to count how many people living in one country, but it's very difficult to count how many worms, how many insects, even in a small place. For example, like in the summertime, if there's a dead animal body, then entire body will become worms. So that means that many beings are ready to enter from the body into to the worm's body. So there are so many, and there are many beings that who are dwelling in the bardo, because unless and until you have the necessary conditions to obtain the birth, they will be in the bardo. And so there are so many of them. And then from the nature point of view, the human life which is endowed with the 18 prerequisite. 18 prerequisite means free from the 8 unfavorable conditions and free from with the right conditions, 10 right conditions. 8 unfavorable conditions means 8 places where there is no opportunity to practice Dharma. And these are, 4 of them are non-human realms, and 4 of them are within human realms. First, 4 of them, non-human realms, number 1 is hell realm. If one is born in hell realm, there's so much immense unbearable sufferings, so how can they have the opportunity to practice Dharma? So it's an unfavorable place. Second is hungry ghost realms. In the hungry ghost realms, they have a suffering of hunger and thirst constantly. They have no opportunity to practice dharma. Third is the animals' realms. Animals are generally very ignorant. They don't know what is the right and what is the wrong, and no, you could not explain to them, and you could not comprehend anything. So there's no opportunity to practice dharma. Fourth is long-lived gods. In some teachings said all the gods, because they have the opportunity to practice dharma, but they have so much enjoyment that they indulge with the enjoyment. They do not bother, or they do not see the necessary to practice dharma. And so therefore, they also have so much, so they have no opportunity. Especially there is one particular section which is called long-lived gods in the Rupa Tattu. And they, when they were born or when they die, otherwise all the mental activities kind of cease and they have some kind of worldly meditation. So when they are kind of frozen there, so when they are there, when you are born there, there is no opportunity to practice the dharma. So these are the four non-human unfavorable conditions, places. And then four within the human realms, the first is the barbarians, the people who live in jungles, deep jungles. They don't know what is the right and what is the wrong way, and they don't have the opportunity to receive the right instructions. Second is those who have the wrong views. Even you have the gift, you have the opportunity to receive the instructions, but because the wrong view is deeply rooted, so that no matter how much you explain to them, they don't change their ideas, they don't change their mind. So therefore, it is the wrong view. And third is when you are born at the time that Buddha has not appeared. When Buddha has appeared, it is called light eon. When Buddha has not appeared, it is called the wrong, dark eon. And there are many dark eons and very few light eons. So if you are born in dark eons sometime, then there's no Buddha. Since there's no Buddha, there's no Dharma to practice. So that is the third one. And fourth one is those people who are dumb, especially mentally dumb, so that they don't have the opportunity to understand or to comprehend the So these are the eight unfavorable conditions. So if you are born in these eight places, you have no opportunity to practice dharma. So therefore, they are called eight unfavorable conditions. Then not only that you need to be free from the eight unfavorable places, but you need to obtain the 10 favorable conditions. Out of these, five of them have to obtain from your own side. So these are the number one. One have to be born as a human being. That is number one. One have to be born as a human being. And how difficult it is, as I have already explained to you before. Secondly, not only human being, one have to be born as a centrally located place. Centrally located place has two meanings. The geographically centrally located place and dharma-wise centrally located place. The geographically centrally located place means the India, like Bodh Gaya, where all the 1,000 Buddhas attained enlightenment. And the dharma-wise centrally located place means any place where there are four types of Buddha's followers exist. Four types of Buddha's followers means the monks and nuns, fully ordained monks and nuns, and lay, male and female lay followers. They're together, these are, if the place where there are all the four types of followers exist, then it is a centrally located place. So one have to be born in the place where there are centrally located place. Third is the sound organs, so that you can receive the instructions and comprehend properly. And fourth is to have a real faith in Dharma, especially the Vinaya, which is the root of all the Dharma. And that is also kind of rare to have a real faith. And fifth one is someone that who have not committed extreme actions. Extreme action means like a five heinous crimes, like killing one's father, killing one's mother, killing arhat, creating blood in the Buddha's body, creating schism between the Sangha members. So these, someone who have not committed, if you have committed these, then it is difficult, in the common path it is difficult to enter into the path. So someone who have not committed these five heinous crimes. And the five that favorable conditions to obtain from the outside is the number one. One have to be born as when the Buddha is appeared. When the Buddha is appeared, it's called light eon. If the Buddha is not appeared, it's called dark eons. And during this eon, there will be 1,000 Buddhas. So it's called the fortunate eon. And after this, there will be 60 dark eons. And then there will be one light eon. Then after that, there will be 10,000 dark eons, then after that one eon, one light eon. Then after that there will be 300 dark eons, then after that there is one light eon. So during 10,360 dark eons, there are only four light eons. During the light eon also, when the people's lifespan is increasing, the Buddhas does not appear. So most of the time, the Buddhas do not appear. So to be born at the time that the Buddha has appeared to this universe is very extremely rare. Then the second condition is not only the Buddha has appeared, but also Buddha is giving the teachings. Buddha does not give his teachings unless he sees there are beings that who are fortunate and who are worthy of receiving the teachings, who can comprehend the profound teachings. Our present Shakyamuni Buddha also, when he first attained the enlightenment under the Bodhi tree in Bodh Gaya, he did not teach. He said, I found the Nectala teachings, but nobody could comprehend this, so therefore I'm not going to teach. Then after that, the Brahma, Lord Brahma, offered a golden wheel with a thousand spokes and request to turn the wheel of Dharma. And so therefore it is very rare that Buddhas to turn the wheel of Dharma. And then not only the Buddha has to come and appear giving the teachings, but teaching is still like a living tradition. The earlier Buddhas, they appeared, but then they finish their teachings, and there are long gaps in between one Buddha and the next Buddha. So during this time, there are no Buddhas. And then not only that, there are people who are following this living tradition. That is also rare because there are so many heretics and who do not believe in the teachings of the Buddha, who do not believe in Dharma. There are so many of them. And then the fifth one is to find the right livelihood. In the worldly level, when you give something, then you return something, you get something, that way there are many people who are doing this, but people who are real, seriously practicing Dharma in the secluded place, in the caves, and in the deep jungles, is very difficult to find the right livelihood. As you all know, the Tibetans, great yogi Milarepa, who was a great yogi, but he had a lot of difficulties in finding his food. So the real practitioners is difficult to find the right livelihood. So in this way, the human life, which has endowed with all the 18 prerequisites, free from the 8 unfavorable places, and with all the 10, 5 from one's own side and 5 from the others, all the 10 conditions together, is extremely rare. Then the example is also very rare. For example, the whole universe is an ocean, and there is a tortoise who is blind under the ocean. And every 100 years time that he surfaces, he comes up over the ocean. And on the ocean, there is a golden yolk with one hole. And this yolk, when the east wind comes from the east, it goes to the west. When the wind comes from the west, it goes to the east. And so similarly, south to north, north to south, etc. And then this tortoise coming up and putting his neck through the holes of the golden yolk is something that is almost impossible. So human life is even more difficult chance to enter the tortoise neck into the hole of the golden yolk. And this example is just an example. There's no such thing as real, but it's this one, but it's an example. But this example and actual situation has complete similarities. To be born in other, like the ocean is huge and wide. Similarly, the opportunities to be born as a non-human being is very vast and large and very vast and many in number. The golden yolk has only one hole, and so the opportunity to be born as a human being is very rare and very small. And tortoise comes up to the ocean, surface of the ocean, every 100 years means very few beings that who are creating the cause to be born as a human beings. And the tortoise is blind. Similarly, those who are in practicing the virtuous deeds to be born as a human being is also very weak, like a blind person. And the golden yolk is floating all over the ocean, wherever the wind comes. Similarly, even you have some kind of condition to be born as a human being, but there are many obstacles. And so this example is very, very rare. So we, due to our own virtuous deeds, due to our own fortune, due to our own merits, that this time that we are born as human beings. And not only human beings, but with all the 18 prerequisites, is extremely rare. And so when you have not only this is very rare, but also a great benefit, it is far more precious than finding the wish-fulfilling jewels. Wish-fulfilling jewel, if you have, if you clean it, and if you put it on the banner, and then if you pray to it, it can bestow all your material needs, like food, cloth, shelter, medicine, etc. But it could not bestow you the higher rebirth, or nirvana, or the enlightenment. But within this human body, but we wanted to accomplish as a higher rebirth or the liberation or even enlightenment is also possible. So therefore, it is far more precious than so therefore it is far more precious than finding the wish fulfilling jewel. So when you have such a rare and precious opportunity that we could not afford to lose it. We have to practice it. We have to take essence out of this very precious opportunity, and that is to practice Dharma. And this human life is also not a permanent, that due to our own fortune, due to our merits, etc., there's this time that we have got everything, and we have got everything. So now, unless we do quickly, everything is impermanent. So by thinking impermanent has a great benefit, that by thinking of impermanent will revolt or give up the strong attachment to entities, to your possessions. And thinking of impermanent will also speed up your endeavor, your efforts, and thinking of impermanent will become the antidote for the sufferings. Thinking of impermanent will help us to realize the emptiness. First of all, thinking of impermanent will give up the attachment, because everything is going to lose sooner or later, that you're going to lose, so therefore you give up. You don't have the strong attachment to your possessions. And thinking of impermanent will speed up when you realize the complete uncertainty of the death. It will first help to enter the path, and in the meantime it will speed up your it will speed up your path, and at the end that it becomes, it makes you a real Dharma. Dharma that is really for the sake of death. To help to save. Otherwise, if you don't understand the impermanent, even though you wear robes, but you are still a lay person, an ordinary person. So therefore, this and it becomes the antidote for the suffering, is because when you realize everything is impermanent, then you are not even afraid of the death. And so no other smaller sufferings does not affect. And also it helps to realize the emptiness. Because all phenomena are no inherent existence. Everything is impermanent. Everything is changing with the causes and conditions. that there's no real inherent existence. And so in this way, that it helps to realize the emptiness. And so to think of this, that it has three parts. First of all, to think complete certainty of the death. Through this precious human life, that we have to practice dharma very diligently and very quickly, otherwise no matter when everyone who is born have to end with death. It is said the four endings of the compound things. Everyone who is born have to end. Everyone who is gathered and have to separate at the end. Everyone who accumulates wealth or whatever, and that it exhausts at the end, it exhausts. Everyone, no matter how high you reach, that it will fall down. So these are the four endings of the compound things. So the one thing that is 100% certainty is that anyone who is born have to end. There's not a single doubt about this. Everyone who is in end, even the noble ones, although in reality they are free from death and death and and then complete uncertainty of the death is that there's no lifespan. We don't have the necessary lifespan, definite lifespan. So that when the death will strike to us, then nobody knows. The tomorrow's future and the next life's future, which one comes first, nobody can determine. So it is far more sensible to work on the next life's future rather than tomorrow's future. And so it's completely, because we don't have the definite lifespan, and there are many causes, outside, external and internal causes of death, and there are very few causes to prolong life, and sometimes even the things that are meant for to prolong our life can cause the death, such as wrong medicines cause death, wrong food causes death, and so on. And then at the time of death, nothing can help you, no matter how rich you are, no matter how many friends and relatives you have, no matter how powerful you are, no matter how clever you are, no matter how strong you are, nothing can help you. The only thing that can help at that time is the dharma practice. The dharma practice that you do will determine to change the route from falling down to the lower realm to the going to the higher realm and liberation and enlightenment and so on. So therefore, to practice dharma is very, very important, and that also without any without any delay. And then while we have the opportunity to be born as human being, and when we have all the leisure time to practice, the main practice is the law of karma. The Buddha said everything that we have experienced as the product of one's own karma, one's own karma. And that has true, the illusory perception, the illusory vision and karmic vision. Illusory vision means that in reality there's no, that what we see, what we experience now is in reality there's no inherent existence. But everybody, we see the subject and object as a duality. We get caught up in this net of the duality. And the karmic vision or the karmic perception, appearance, karmic appearance is that thing better. Karmic appearance is because as a individuals have a different appearance. Like some have a long life, some have a short life, some wealthy, some lesser, and some more, and so on. So this is all. So it is said that in the sutras, when the time comes and the king dies, all his possessions, all his friends, all his companions do not follow. But wherever you go, wherever that person goes, the karma will follow, just as like the shadow will follow wherever we go. So the karma is that karma has three different kinds: non-virtuous deeds, virtuous deeds, and indifferent deeds. Non-virtuous deeds means, for example, that if the root of the tree is poison, then everything that grows over the tree, like flowers, fruits, leaves, everything is poison. So similarly, the deeds that are arising from desire, anger, and ignorance are called non-virtuous deeds. And that causes all the sufferings. Non-virtuous deeds, if we divide it, there are 10 non-virtuous deeds. 3 committed through the physical body, 4 committed through the speech, 3 committed through the mind. The first, number 1, is killing, either by yourself or you ask somebody to slaughter, to kill any living beings, tiny insects, up to human beings through the poison, through the fire, through the weapon, etc. So that is the number 1, killing. Number 2 is stealing. Again, either by yourself or to do others, either through forcefully or quietly to steal things that not belonging to you. Precious things up to insignificant things like strings and needles, things that does not belonging to if you steal, that is stealing, and that is the number 1, number 2, non-virtuous deeds. Number 3 is sexual misconduct. Apart from one's own partner, life partner, to have a kind of sexual activities at the wrong time, at the wrong place, wrong passage, etc. So these are the 3 non-virtuous deeds committed through the physically, and then there are four committed through the voice. Number one is to tell lie, not the truth, untruth, telling lie. And number two is creating schism between individuals or groups. Either they are true or not, but creating disharmony between the individuals or the groups. And third is the harsh words, words that just by hearing that create the pains to the other people. Fourth is the idle talks, talks that has no benefit, talks such as like war and so on, that intensifies, activates the desire, anger, jealousy, etc. So these kind of talks have no use and it creates more harmful. So that those are the four committed through the speech. Then last three are committed through the mind. First is like greedy. When you see something nice to other people that you wanted to use for yourself. You wanting for yourself. And second is hatred. When wishing somebody to have a misfortunes or bad things. And third is the wrong views. Views not believing in the law of karma, not believing in the Four Noble Truth, not believing in the Triple Gem, etc. So these are the three committed through the mind. So altogether there are 10. Three committed through the through the body, four committed through the speech, and three committed through the mind. So altogether there are 10 non-virtuous deeds. And non-virtuous deeds have three results. The first result falls down to the lower realms, depending on your intentions and amount. If it is the committed through the anger, like killing your enemies out of anger, and that also in gross, maybe you committed many times, then you are most likely to fall down to the lower, higher realms. If it is out of greed, like killing animals for the sake of meat or for the skin or etc., then most likely to fall in the hungry ghost realms. Killing animals out of ignorance just for like fun or sports, as many people as a sport they slaughter animals, and that ignorance that is most likely to be fall down into the animals realms. And then these are the first result. The second result is that second result has two different parts. First is result that is similar to the cause, that by killing somebody that you will also have a very unhealthy life and short life, because you shortening and creating the pains that you will have a pain. Similarly, stealing that you have poverty, and by telling lie that you will not hear the truth, etc. And the second of this is that it is habit forming, that by indulging negative deeds, that in the future life also, there are some people who enjoy killing. So that means in their previous lives they've been killing. So therefore in this life is that there's a tendency to kill animals. So therefore they continue to create more similar. And the third result is the result of ownership, which means one will be born in the places where they are very unhappy places, and where there's a lot of extreme weather and a lot of natural disasters, etc. So therefore non-virtuous deeds is the cause of all the sufferings, and those who really wish to be free from suffering, then one have to abstain from the non-virtuous deeds. And then there's the virtuous deeds, 10 virtuous deeds. 10 virtuous deeds means, for example, if the root of the tree is medicine, then everything that grows over the leaves, fruits, flowers are all medicine. Similarly, that without the attachment, without the desire, without the anger, without the ignorance, that it, deeds that are without these is called virtuous deeds. And that also has 10 virtuous deeds. And the 10 virtuous deeds are three physically, four speech, and three mentally. And that is just the opposite of the 10 non-virtuous, like abstaining from killing, abstaining from stealing, abstaining from sexual misconduct, abstaining from lying, abstaining from schism, etc. So in this way that they abstain from this. And the result also, there are three results. The first result is that by practicing the 10 virtuous deeds, one will be born in the higher realms. Depending on if it is a lot of virtuous deeds, then in the God's realm. If it is a medium, demigod's realm. If it is a small, in human realms. And then the result that is similar to the cause also has two paths. First of all, by abstaining from killing, then you will have a long life and healthy life. And also by abstaining from stealing, then you will have a wealthy life, and so on. Similar to the cause. And then similar to the habit forming is also that in your previous lives that you did not indulge in negative deeds, that in this life also there are naturally tendency, not like killing, not like stealing, etc. And then the result is, the result that is happening on the place is that places where there are very beautiful places, where there are no natural disasters. Then there's the indifferent indifferent deeds, that is not virtuous, no non-virtuous, such as like walking, sitting, sleeping, etc. These are, since they do not produce any sufferings, they are far better than non-virtuous deeds. But since they do not produce any positive results, they are kind of useless. So therefore, that you t- everything is mind, so you start by turning them. For example, when you are sleeping, that you think, may all beings attend the Dharmakaya. When you rise, may all beings obtain the Rupakaya, etc. By doing this, that you can turn in different deeds into the virtuous deeds. So in this way, yesterday we talked about the refuge, which is very important, and it's the root of all Dharma and preliminary practice and foundation of all the vows, etc. And then today we discovered with the suffering of samsara as a whole, no matter where you are born, is all suffering. And in order to free from suffering, you need to obtain the precious human life, which is endowed with the 18 prerequisites. And that is very difficult to obtain from many point of view. And then that also is, everything is impermanent, and life is also impermanent, human life is also impermanent, and that you have to do, think of the impermanent, and you have to practice without any delay, that you have to practice. Third, fourth is the law of karma, the virtuous and non-virtuous, abstain from non-virtuous deeds and practice virtuous deeds. And so now, next time that you receive the Vajrapani teaching and Vajrayogini teachings, these four things are very important. Before you begin your practice, it is very important to think about these four foundations, or the four common foundations, that is like suffering of samsara, difficulties of obtaining the precious human life, the impermanent, and law of karma. And with this, when you think of this and then you do practice, then it becomes real dharma that is really helps to your mind. Otherwise we recite, we meditate, etc., but most likely that it should mix with this life and other things, that it is not a real dharma. As it is said, that if you have attachment to this life, one is not a dharmic person. So with this, we conclude today's session.